Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Well, it's March Madness. March Madness being, well, it's that time of the year where you have the NCAA basketball tournament. It's funny how they call it March Madness when it goes into April before everything is all said and done. But anyway, there's 64 basketball teams that are chosen, and these 64 teams, well, they're supposed to be the best of the best of the Division I college basketball. And so that being the case, they are invited to come and play. Now what they do here is these 64 teams, it's a tournament here, so they put them into four different brackets, 16 teams in each bracket. And so they rank them, all right, they seed them, so one being the best in each particular bracket, and then it goes on down to 16, with 16 being the weakest team. And it starts off with the number one team playing the number 16 team, and they're all spread out there until finally, well, the whole goal is that you'd have one team after all those 64 all playing would be crowned the champion. Now, quite frankly, this is about the only time of year where I actually sit down and I watch a basketball game, watch a whole lot of it. Now I've got my teams that I like to follow, and so I'll sit down if they're on and watch a little bit of it. But as far as watching a whole game, it's not until this tournament, because the tournament here is single elimination. And what that means is that you win, you move on. You lose, you go home. All right? So every game is like they're playing like it's their last game. So they're playing their hearts out. And so when they're doing that, it's exciting to watch because, quite frankly, you're seeing some of the best. And so, again, they're all playing each other, ultimately, for that grand prize there at the very end to be crowned NCAA national champions. Now, to make it interesting for everybody else, you can print out those brackets that have all that, and you can select your teams on which you want to make sure that they win, going from one game to the next, and all that kind of stuff, till you finally select your team that you think is going to win. And that's kind of fun, particularly when you do it with a group of people that you know. We do that inside my family, and so everybody has their picks, and so we keep track to see who's going to be the best one, you know, who's going to be the best prognosticator there of who's going to win all those games, because, well, it's nice to be, you know, number one, that you chose the right number of teams to win and which ones to pick and all that kind of fun stuff. But being number one, or close to number one, well, that's kind of what our gospel reading is all about this morning as well. Got good old James and John, sons of Zebedee. They go up to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, we got a favor to ask of you." And he's like, "Okay, all right, well, what is it?" And so they say, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." All these guys are sharp. They know that Jesus is something special. They know that he's a winner. They have this feeling that, well, Jesus is, you know, one day going to be a king, you know, and where his kingdom's going to be, well, who knows, you know. They don't know how far it'll be and how grand it will be, nor do they care, quite frankly. They just want to be in positions of authority. That's what they want. You know, they know that Jesus will be in a position to grant it. Why? Because Jesus has power. Jesus has done miracles. Jesus has done some pretty amazing things. You know, he's healed all kinds of people of diseases and everything else. He's the one who walked on the water, right? He's even got power and authority in the spiritual dimension there. He's kicking out demons out of people and left and right, and they obey him. Yes, he's the one who has authority, who could do all of these things. And so here they are, they want to be as close as possible to him so that when he is crowned in his glory there and his champion over all, Jesus, you know, we want those choice seats, you know, one at your right and one at your left when you come to your glory. They just want to share in his power. Now as they share that there, Jesus is like, "Really? Do you guys know what you're getting into here? Do you know what you're really asking?" He puts it this way. He goes, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "Sure." You know, just like your kids asking a question. It's like, yeah, they don't know any better. But they just say, "Yes." And that's what they say. "Yes, yeah, we can do that." And Jesus responds to them. He says, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." Now, this cup that Jesus speaks of is not the victor's cup. Champions do not drink this cup that Jesus is speaking about here, because the cup that he's referring to is the cup of God's wrath. Interesting things to know about this cup of wrath. One, you do not pick it up. Okay? It's like a cup of God's wrath is there. It's like you don't walk over there and grab it yourself. No, it is handed to you. Because the cup of God's wrath is the punishment that God is going to give you because of your sins. So you're going to be drinking your own punishment there. Second thing about it, you have to drink it. So when God gives it to you, you have to drink it. You can't put it down. You can't say no. When he hands it to you, you have to get it. No avoiding it. Three, you can't put it down if you want to. So even if you feel like you're full of God's wrath, it's like, all right, God, I've had enough punishment from you. I get it. You keep on drinking. In fact, Scripture there talks about it, how it's such a big cup. You know, it's like something like this that you got to hold. And you press it so tight against yourself, and you have such a ravenous appetite for drinking this, that it'll cut up your chest because you don't care. You're just sitting there drinking all of this. You're taking all this punishment. And the only way to get rid of this cup is when God decides you've had enough. That's when God takes the cup from you. That's when he's decided enough punishment. Now, Jesus says to the Zebedee's boys there, yes, you will drink from this cup. That is their future. But to sit at his right or his left, you know, that's not for Jesus to grant. You know, here they're wanting power, and he's saying, it's like, you know, the Gentiles, they lord that power over you. It's like, no, you're not supposed to do that. Rather, you're to be a servant. Now, that thought had to be maddening to the disciples. Maddening, like trying to pick who's going to be the winner in the NCAA tournament. Yesterday, when I woke up, I looked at the scores to see who'd won, to see how my brackets were doing. You know, usually, if you pick the number one team for a particular bracket, you're always guaranteed to get through the first round. Because no 16th-ranked team has ever, ever beaten a number one-ranked team. Until the one I picked did. So, Virginia Cavaliers lost to a 16th-seeded team, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Sounds like a junior college team, you know. But here they beat probably the best team in the land. And so here it is. Somebody, where that's never, ever happened before in the history of this tournament, 16th-ranked team beats the number one team. It's ridiculous. Here I had the Virginia Cavaliers going to win it all in my bracket. So in the first round, I didn't even get out of the chute before my piece of paper's trash. So, the disciples, I'm sure they're thinking ridiculous is what came to mind too. When Jesus is talking about this, he's supposed to be the champion here, and he's going to be drinking this cup. Taking this cup of wrath, drinking the cup of God's wrath, he's going to lose. Why? Because that is how he is going to win. Sure, the 16th ranked team there, the devil, chief priests, the people, sure they want to put Jesus to death. And in fact, they do. In the worst possible sort of way. Death on a cross, that was saved for the worst sort of person. And here, that's how they treat Jesus there. They treat him like a loser. There's no glory in dying on a cross, nothing at all. And surely for the disciples, they're sitting there thinking, there's no opportunity then to be on his right or on his left in his kingdom. He's dead. But this kingdom that Jesus is going to establish is not of this world. It's a heavenly kingdom. And so the victory that is won comes through his drinking the cup of God's wrath. Well, from our perspective, that's maddening. But from God's, that's the path to victory. For 3 days later, after his supposed defeat, Jesus rises from the grave alive, and now that victory is complete. But the road to that victory, though, came through suffering. Now, Jesus told James and John there that's like, you know, you guys too, you're going to suffer as well. And indeed, James was the first to go. King Herod Agrippa I had James beheaded. And then John, well, supposedly somebody tried to poison him, kill him with some pouring poison into some wine that he was supposed to drink. So if you ever see a symbol for the disciple, the apostle John, you might see a chalice with a snake on it, right? Well, that's how you know it's John, because that's what supposedly somebody was going to try and do to him. But we all know that John died on the island of Patmos. Why? He was exiled there for preaching Christ crucified and Christ resurrected. They and other future believers, they too were killed, tortured, and abused because they believe in Jesus. Now we too may go through that same kind of suffering for being a Christian. It isn't always a victorious life that we have here on this earth. You who are baptized into this faith, you who confess this faith, you who said in your confirmation that you would rather die than to fall away from the faith, may suffer for being a Christian. But it's that same baptism that we receive that connects us to Jesus. And that's a good thing, because that baptism of ours connects us to a winner, to a champion, to the champion, the true champion over death and the devil. Since we are connected to him in our baptisms, we too share in the victory. Our faith guarantees that we will be in heaven to celebrate that victory forever. And that's a comforting thing to know. For we go through this life and we may wake up in the morning and find out that our bracket is blown. All right? We're hoping to be a winner. We're hoping to think life is going to be great. And then something happens. And it's not. And then we have some friends, supposed friends, others out there saying, it's like, hey, you're no better than I am. You're not perfect. You're a sinner. Somebody may even call you out. It's like, you really believe that stuff? Somebody told my wife that one time. You really believe that? They're looking at you like you're a loser for believing in Jesus. And then we come to understand that all that they say about us is true. You know, we are sinners, just like they are, undeserving of a victory. But losers? No, never. Jesus changes the headlines. No upset here as far as God is concerned. The true champion claims us as his own. We who believe are winners. Why? Because Jesus took the cup of God's wrath on our behalf so that, well, we might be where he is, that we be with him where it counts most, and that's heaven. Because you see, in heaven, that's where the victory is celebrated forever. And for that, we who believe can give thanks now and for all eternity through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise and confess our victory through the